Commission, which is back in Valentine's Day 2020. And Pastor Dennis will introduce our speaker.
Thank you, Jen. We're looking forward to being back with them soon because River Church, River Missions, is one of our favorite ministries to support and to partner with. The people there are such a blessing to be around, especially Pastor Don McCracken. He's the founding pastor of River Church, and he just pours himself out daily to anyone in need in different neighborhoods in this area, especially the homeless, and bringing people food and water, helping them get medical care, ministering to their spirits, and sharing the gospel, and welcome them into his church. He models so well how to love one's neighbor. He has so graciously taken off this Sunday to join us this morning to be our guest speaker today. Please give him a warm welcome as he comes to give us God's word.
Thank you. Excuse me. Okay, let's close in prayer. I'm not wearing a mask because of COVID. I'm wearing a mask because I'm missing my two front teeth. They were knocked out at the dentist's office while in the dentist's chair. And needless to say, I'm looking for a new dentist. But thank you for inviting us that we could share. And thank you for all that you've done at the River Mission. It's just absolutely incredible. As you know, this is a backpack, and this, for some, is the only home that they have. My name is Don McCracken, pastor of the River Mission, and the River Mission is basically centered around a church service specifically for those who are struggling through life. Homeless, disenfranchised, people with mental illness, or whoever. And we have a church service that they can grasp and get a hold of, something that speaks to their heart, and present the Bible to them in a way that they can grab a hold of and take with them through the rest of the week. So we get agnostics, we get atheists, Buddhists, Muslim, and we preach the Bible and the center of the Bible, Jesus Christ. But as I said, in a way everyone could understand. We have a food pantry, which New Mercy has helped incredibly. We have a clothing pantry, we have toiletries, life essentials, anything that anyone could ever need, we try to be able to provide. We have canes, wheelchairs, things like that. So it was kind of a miracle how this whole thing came about. I've dedicated my life to helping the homeless. Now, no, I didn't. That's not true. Basically, what happened is one day I just showed up. God said, here, do this. If you say so, God, I'll do it. It's amazing what can happen in our lives when we just show up. We try to help people connect with agencies in the area that can provide housing, Section 8, which helps pay for their rent, Social Security, food stamps, SNAP cards. So we not only provide for people, but we also try to walk them through the process, point them to the agencies that could bring them help. And most importantly, we want to be Jesus to them. We want to point them to Jesus. One person, online reporter, said that we're a family for those without family. And all this came about simply by showing up. Me, if I had my way, I would live as a hermit. I'd be home watching TV, eating pizza and drinking beer. Those were the plans for my life. God had other plans. Most of the time I don't know what I'm doing, but that doesn't stop me from doing it when God says go. Moses, and I'm no Moses. When God said, I want you to go and go to Egypt and free my people, and he gave every excuse in the book. Like that, I'm Moses. But God said, you know what? Just go. Just go. I'll fill you in as you move towards the goal. Gideon was hiding out, threshing wheat in a wine vat. He was so afraid. An angel showed up and said, mighty warrior. And it's like, are you talking to me? God does talk to us. But sometimes he'll call us a name we don't recognize yet, like mighty warrior. And David was delivering pizza. He was bringing bread and cheese to his brothers, and his brothers chided him and mocked him. And he went and he slayed a giant, which defeated the whole Philistine army. When God tells us to go, he's already worked out what he wants us to do. It's up to us to just go. I wear dungarees. These are black dungarees because I have no idea where I'm going. Under bridges, we haven't been under a bridge for a while, but by the river, wherever. So I need something tough. These are actually sneakers. So again, to get around, I have to run away. I wear a clergy shirt for a couple reasons. One is if there's an emergency and the police come and they look and they have to assess the situation, if there's trouble, they say, okay, clergy, okay, this guy has a gun, okay, and whatever. And I also wear the shirt to remind me where the Lord has taken me from. I didn't do any of this, really. I just, again, just showed up. Bible college, seminary. It was, all right, Lord, I'll give it a shot, but I'm not going to make it. I dropped out of high school twice in the 12th grade. Got a GED. So my view of myself was not good. I suffered from agoraphobia, horrible panic attacks. I was an alcoholic. Clinically depressed in my younger years, horribly depressed. But God had other plans. We forget either who we are in the Lord or we don't know yet. I was visiting at a hospital and I got on the elevator and there was this little boy with a young mother, and he's looking at me, and he looks a little upset. And I said, I smiled. I said, hello. I had my teeth then, so I could smile. It also gives me street cred too, not having the teeth. So he finally pointed to my neck and he said, "Boo boo." I said, "Oh no, no, this is what I wear when I come and I visit the hospital, so people know that God is open 24/7, and they know that they could talk to me if they want to." And we're going down, and he's staring, and I said, "Do you know what it says inside this collar? It says, 'Wash with warm water only.'" So I said, "Do you know what it says in the collar?" And he says, "Yep, I sure do." I'm thinking, "Yeah, right." So I said, "Okay, what does it say?" He says, "Kills fleas and ticks for up to 3 months." Okay, sometimes we misunderstand. Not we, but people in general. And I misunderstood. I looked at the Bible as a religion more so than an instruction manual and a love letter from God. I thought I had no other choice but to be fear-based and lay back my whole life. But God had other plans for me. I didn't know. I misunderstood. There's a verse in Isaiah 61:1. I think we have the PowerPoint for that. Do we? Yay. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us, because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He has made us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." My religion never helped me. I had the religion, but I didn't have the relationship. At the river, we provide for people's needs, but more importantly, to help them see Jesus. That's more important than anything. Some people will only see once, but we want them to leave at least knowing who Jesus is. Among the many things that God instructs us to do, there are two biggies. There's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is Mark 2, 30 and 31. "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." The Great Commandment. It doesn't say love ourselves, but to love God with our all so that we can rightly love others and gain a healthy view of ourselves. Basically, to take God more seriously and ourselves less seriously. When I was a kid, I was deathly afraid of homeless people. We had two homeless people, or they might have had a home or something, but they were equivalent to what we have now as homeless. Back then, society called them bums. But I remember seeing one guy eating out of a garbage can near my house, and I grew up afraid. So if I even had a tinge of a thought that God was calling me to minister to the homeless, I would have thought I was crazy and that wasn't God. But God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And it's incredible. And all we got to do at first is show up. We all have a call on our life. I'm sure you guys know that. And we can see that call in the next verse. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. This, as you know, is the Great Commission. Go, go into all the world. Just show up, whether it's at the grocery store or overseas or whatever. Just make ourselves available. Or even on the walkway right outside across the river. We used to go there all the time. Homeless people would camp out there. You'd never see them except during the day. But those in need are just a few steps away. But I don't know how. I didn't know either. I hadn't a clue. I still don't. The way society is changing, the way things are changing. But we can just show up and watch God work. But we have to do the showing up. Go into all the world. Just walk across the room. The very first time I worked with the homeless, I was working a little bit. I would do little mini concerts or show up in the park with my guitar. And the river started with someone else doing once a month service. And he had asked me to come and do music, worship before the service, and then they would serve a full meal. And so I said, yeah. Now, I'm a musician. That's how I spent half of my life, playing in bars and clubs and concerts. And when I'm done playing, I want to just go and relax and get away from people. I want to just, and that's when I started doing worship. I wanted to just go off and relax. But one day, we did I guess it was the first service for the homeless, and I got off stage, I took my guitar off, and I thought I heard that still small voice, that inkling in my heart saying, go talk to that guy on the other side of the room. He was the biggest, baddest, meanest looking guy I have ever seen, and he didn't look happy. And so I said, Lord, I'm not a talker. I know you can't tell that now, but Lord, I'm not a talker. So I said, what am I going to say? And I thought I heard, not audibly, just walk across the room. Just walk across the room. All right. And I walked across the room. I walked right up to him, and he gave me this look like I just kicked him in the shin. And I said, hi, how you doing? And all of a sudden, it was like he was melting. His heart was melting. Someone went up to him to talk to him and not tell him to get out of here or what are you doing here or something like that. Just a kind word. And that day, I learned so much. I learned that it makes no difference what I learned. God's going to lead us, and God's going to guide us. The Great Commission. I just thought of this last night. Someone else might have thought of it on the planet, I'm sure. But the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the Great Commitment. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We don't have it on a PowerPoint. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight and direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There was a tightrope walker a little over 100 years ago. He put a tightrope over waterfalls really high up. And a crowd started to show up. It was a farming town. And he went across this wire over the falls with a pole. And he came back, and everybody went crazy. He says, how many believe that I could do that without the pole? No. So he did it without the pole, and he came back. And he said, how many people believe I can? There was a farmer there with a wheelbarrow. And he said, can I borrow that wheelbarrow? And he said, how many believe I could go across with the wheelbarrow? And now they're like, yeah. And he goes across with the wheelbarrow, and he comes back, and they're going crazy. Yeah. And then he says, how many believe I can go across with the wheelbarrow with someone sitting in it? And they said, yeah, go. And then he said, Who will get in the wheelbarrow? Sometimes God asks us to get in his wheelbarrow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your way straight. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then going down to Philippians 4, 9, whatever you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We can't have the peace of God without the God of peace. I love greetings. I come across all nationalities out in the street or people who come in. And I'm trying to learn Spanish. Gosh. And I've had Spanish friends my whole life. Why didn't I learn Spanish? And so I greet people with Dios te bendiga. God bless you in Spanish. Amen. He liked that. And Chinese, you're going to laugh, but to just greet someone, ni hao, I have no idea if that's right or not. But often people will, that someone would take the time to say hello. And another one is in Korean, Annyeong Haseyo. The original or the literal translation is, are you at peace? And I'm thinking, my gosh, are you at peace? What a great line. For me, you know, when I say, hey, how are you? How you doing? I don't expect an answer. I didn't ask for your life story. It's just an expression. Leave me alone. But no, as a minister, as a Christian, as a child of God, when we say, how are you doing? Are we prepared to listen? Because they might be prepared to speak. When I'm in a supermarket with the collar on, people are coming out of the woodwork to talk. So I have to plan triple the time and be willing to listen. But Annyeong Haseyo, are you at peace? So many people don't have that peace because they don't They don't have the peace of God because they don't have the God of peace. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. I've been rewarded. Material things, sure. But beyond my wildest dreams, what the heck am I doing up here talking to you when I couldn't even leave my house at one time because of anxiety or because of addiction or because of whatever? God's got some incredible things for us, and all he asks is for us to just show up. Moses did it. He didn't wanna. He didn't think he could. Romans 10, 13, 15. This is the last verse we're going to be doing. We're going to wrap it up. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the name? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How are your feet? Are we bringing good news to the least of these, those who need it the most, and to the most of these? God calls us to tell others, to reach out, to fill needs, material needs, but most importantly, to be Jesus to others, that when others look at us, they might see Jesus working in us. They might know that he's real, because of what we're doing, because of who we are. There was a woman going to her village a while ago, and she had to go through a creek, little bridge, and she saw something shining, and she went in, and it was this incredible gem. And it was like, oh my gosh. And she went into the village to get it appraised, and it was worth a fortune. And she came out, and she's going back home, and a beggar is there asking for stuff. And she didn't have much of anything except this pearl. And she said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to give you. And he said, what about that? And without flinching, she took this gem and she handed it to the beggar. And just went on her merry way. A week went by, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. She went into town. And she saw the beggar. The beggar went up to her. And he held out his hand. And she held out her hand. And she thought he was giving her something nice, and you know, a trinket or something. And he handed her back this priceless gem. And she said, what's the matter? You don't want it? And he said, I want what you have. That spirit of sacrificial love that would give someone a fortune when they're not rich themselves. God has given us a fortune to give to others. The gospel. When we give them food or clothing, that's the start. Now I'm totally wrapping it up, I promise. This is it. There's I don't know if anyone has seen The Chosen. It's a series, really pretty good. And there's a lot of parabiblical dialogue. They didn't say it in the Bible, but it doesn't go against the Bible. And there's a scene where Nicodemus is in Jerusalem, and he sees somebody, and he goes, "Lilith, Lilith." And this woman just keeps walking, and he says, "It's me, Nicodemus, Lilith." And she just is walking really fast to get away. And he caught up with her. And he said, "Lilith, I haven't seen you for a long time." And she said, I don't answer to that name anymore." And he said, what do you go by now?" She said, "Mary. It's Mary Magdalene." And he said, "What happened to you? You've changed." He said, I prayed. I ministered to you. I lit incense." And she said, I don't know what happened." She said, "I met a man." And he said, "Who's the man?" And she said, "I can't tell you that yet because his time hasn't come." And Lilith is the name of a goddess. And she had a really bad lifestyle. And he said, "Mary, tell me, what happened?" And Mary said, "All I know is I was once one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him." That's the treasure that we have for those who suffer most in our society. God wants us to help others in need, but we have the most incredible calling to introduce other people to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this pearl of great price that you've given us, for this incredible gift that is to be given away to others. Lord, help us, guide us, remind us that it's not how good we are or equipped we are, but it's simply listening to, obeying, and walking with you, Father. Show us how to reach out, Lord, to those who need you the most. We pray your blessings here on New Mercy and everyone, Lord God. Continue to lead them and guide them and bless them as they have blessed so many others. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.